Welcome to the Orlando Holiday Guide podcast show, presented by Hugh Hattrick in association with its Orlando Time Facebook page. Trusted, acknowledged, and respected. Good afternoon and welcome to Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide. Today with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Adam Thompson. Hello, Adam. It's good to see you.
Hello, Hugh. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Now, I can see you're still smiling, and you've obviously just come back from your holiday in Orlando. Tell me, how did it go? Because you were away for 2 weeks. Was it a wonderful time? What was the whole experience like for you?
Well, it was absolutely fantastic from start to finish, to be honest with you. It didn't go without its issues that you get with children when you take them away on holidays like that, with a couple of illnesses and a few injuries. But apart from that, everything went really well. Always a little bit nervous about planning your own holiday without going through a package yeah. company. But everything, you know, I got things right, which makes a change. My wife was quite surprised at that one. it was really good. Weather started to dip off at the latter part of the holiday. But when you're going somewhere like Florida, to the parks like Disney and Universal, to be quite frank, you appreciate slightly clouded days.
Yeah, it's not so hot.
The heat can be quite intense, to be honest with you, especially for the young ones.
Yeah.
So it was a success.
So you said that you did it all separately yourself. Do you mind saying what kind of companies you used things to get things like flights and your hotel or villa type thing?
Was it? Yeah, certainly. So I started off by taking a bit of a gamble and just booking the flights with a company called Norwegian, if anybody's aware.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah. At the beginning of the year, they were a little bit vulnerable in regards to finances, you know, coming in, not making a profit at the beginning of the year. But I took a gamble on them. And to be quite frank, they were nearly £1,000 cheaper than any other airline.
Wow.
Granted, the times weren't ideal for flights. Yeah. But, you know, when you're saving £1,000 on a holiday like Florida, it really does makes a difference. So I booked with them. And then I discovered Airbnb for the first time.
All right, fantastic.
Probably a little bit behind everybody else, but I went on Airbnb and found a location that was approximately about 20 minutes away from every park, and booked through that. Then in regards to the tickets, we did go 3 years previous, and we restricted ourselves a little bit with some of the tickets, i.e. Universal, Volcanoes Bay, and Islands of Adventure. We restricted just one-day visits. So we found, personally, on our behalf, we found that we enjoyed them more because our kids were a little bit older at the time.
Yeah.
I think they're in a bit more mature child and childish adult, should we say. And we opted to go for the full 2 weeks, all access, all areas, with the tickets. And we went through a company called American Attractions. I think they're rated one of the best ones to deal with in regards to tickets in Orlando. We purchased them through them. Never the cheapest, but if you're intending on going to Orlando, Florida, don't expect cheap. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to delve deep in your pockets. We booked through them. And car hire, again, went separate. I just booked that separately, direct from Orlando Airport. Your typical broker, when you type in that you want a car hire from Orlando Airport, you just get reams and reams of companies. Alamo, National. We ended up going in with National, and we got a oversized SUV.
All right, excellent.
To be quite frank, I think it was about a 3.5 litre V8 Nissan Armada, it was quite reasonable. Absolute beast of a vehicle to drive, to be honest with you. So when I came back to my little Ford Cougar. it was a little bit of a, you know, knock back down to reality, so to say. That was pretty much it. It was onwards and upwards after that, but it did take a lot of planning. There was a big black file prior to leaving. You do find it's so much nicer when you do go with a package holiday that, you know, you pay that money and you're just looking for the name that you're going with when you basically need to go abroad. When you do it this way, there's a lot more stress. You're triple checking everything that you have booked. But you know, if you do it correctly and you take your time and, like I say, you triple check, there's no reason why it shouldn't go to plan. And you may find that you save yourself a bit of money in the long run, because when I price going through the package holidays for the likes of Orlando, which mainly they orientate themselves around the Disney hotels.
Costs can
escalate quite quickly.
Yeah. And we did that last year. We booked at the time, obviously, Thomas Cook were still going. And we used, it was through Condor Airways from Manchester, and they were £350 return tickets, just standard economy seats, but they were pretty good. Left on time, and they were, you know, it was comfortable, the food was good, the flight was actually very, very good. I was quite impressed with them, and it meant that for the four of us, it was, you know, £1,400, and that was in April, that was for April 2018 for four people.
Oh, wow, that is good.
You know, and we all be booked about 3 months in advance. We always kept our eye on it, you know, just to see what it was doing, see what the kind of prices were like. And they kept kind of coming down a bit and a bit. And it was funny because Thomas Cook, about 6 months before, I'd gone into the shop and said, look, I'm thinking about April, but I know that last minute's probably better. And they were all trying to say, oh, no, you know, pay as early as you can and so on and so forth. And then you get to like, even like 6 weeks before, and they're, you know, they're a quarter of the price of what they're charging, you know, normally. So it's definitely worth doing it yourself, I think. If you know what you're doing and you can find a good company, then I think you're fine. What were the kind of, did you have to fly from Gatwick or did you fly from Manchester or somewhere else?
Yeah, well, this is the catch, and it's something that infuriates me beyond belief in regards to holidaying from the location that we are, Newcastle Airport being the nearest.
Yeah.
Well, possibly, I think one of the most expensive airports in the country, which I find astonishing, to be honest with you. So you cannot really get a direct from there anyway.
Yeah, it's always Sanford, isn't it? Sanford, yeah, Orlando, yeah.
We always tend to vouch for Edinburgh. We've saved money flying from Edinburgh in the past by going at the back end of the summer holidays for the children. Aye. So obviously in Scotland, you guys go back a lot sooner.
Yeah, yeah.
So the price has dropped for us from Edinburgh Airport. So what we did was, I kept it completely separate because of the cost of the holiday. Aye. I was prioritising what needed paid for and what didn't. So yeah, in the back of my mind, I was like, we're going to have to fly from London. That's the cheapest location. Gatwick came up. I think it cost approximately $2,000 for the flights, return for the four of us.
We
hummed and hawed about driving the 6 to 7 hours down there. Staying the night before and then driving 6-7 hours back. Well, as you probably know, the type of flights that they are, it's the last thing you want to be doing prior to travelling. So we opted just to book EasyJet flights, kind of last minute, maybe it's about 4 weeks before we left from Edinburgh Airport. So we drove up to Edinburgh, parked at Edinburgh long term, then flew down with EasyJet. The day before we travelled on the Saturday, we stayed in the Gatwick Premier Inn, which cost really good, actually, £60 for the night.
That's pretty
good. And then we arrived late at night. It was about 10:30, and then we flew the next day. I'm forgetting already, but I think it was about 2:30 the flight. So we had to get breakfast, chill, and just get ourselves ready. And then we flew on the Sunday. Coming back, it was Sunday Orlando time. The flight was 9:25. We landed at 10:30, approximately 10:30. Yesterday morning.
All right, that's not too bad then.
If you could sleep, I got a few hours. A lot of the guys didn't. If you could sleep on that flight, it kind of avoided the whole jet lag situation, because you're obviously arriving Monday morning. And then I flew directly from Gatwick to Edinburgh that day, which I think we landed at 10:30 and the flight was at 12:55. So it kind of conveyed nicely all the way through to getting back to here at about 6:00 yesterday afternoon.
Well, that's quite good then.
Not too bad at all. Still, I mean, still quite shattered, as you can imagine, and the body wondering what the hell's going on. So feeling a little bit lagged today. But I would say a good night's kip tonight should see that off, to be honest with you.
I remember when we first time we did it, and we as a family, and we went from Glasgow, and when we came back from Glasgow, we were so knackered because we'd been up all night and really hardly slept, and we had to drive back, and we were coming over the bridge at Glasgow Airport, just heading on the motorway on the M8, Yvonne slipped a wheel slightly because she was driving. She said she'll drive for the first wee bit, and as soon as that happened, I thought, right, I'm taking the wheel. You know, that was it. So we pulled over at the next services, and that was it. And I drove back, but my goodness, I've never been so tired. I had to have the radio on, everything on, and I had to have the window a wee bit open so I got plenty of fresh air. And by the time we got near home, I was so tired. And I mean, you know, you're really trying to sort it out. I ended up kind of getting out of the car. We pulled over and stopped, and I ran around the car once just to get some fresh air and get some kind of energy back, you know, and then that was me back home. But it just plays with your inbuilt system, isn't it? Because you're coming back, you know, trying to get used to it and make it work.
It does, definitely. I do the standbys with work and stuff like that, and you end up doing some pretty unsociable hours.
Yeah.
I'm quite well versed in driving while tired, should we say. But it's that, and also, I mean, when you spend 2 weeks, as you well know, driving on American roads and being in a totally different country, you know, there's a lot of things going on in your head. Everything feels completely strange and surreal when you first get back. It's a long trip. It's not a trip to Lanzarote, put it that way.
No. I always remember once we were coming on the Sunday morning, and we'd been at a church in Florida, and we decided we'd go for lunch, and I was desperate. I was so hungry. We were just trying to find anywhere to eat. And we saw, I think it was like a Denny's or something, and it was just off the main road, I think off the 192, and I missed the turn for it. So I thought, right, I've got to go back, and we couldn't get round this place. It was like we're always going round in circles on this old kind of trading estate. And I just saw the back of the Denny's, and I thought it was a Hyundai Santa Fe hire car. And so I was so fed up that I just decided, right, there was a big grass mound before the restaurant. And I did a kind of Trains, Planes and Automobiles, and I said, we're going to the restaurant. That was it. Well, everyone in the car was saying, go round, blah, blah, round. And I just drove over the grass, over the kind of lump, and I came straight across and landed kind of in the car park on the other side, right in the front window. And everyone in the window was obviously just saw the car coming over the hill, you know, like this. And all the family getting out, they must have thought we were like the real version of The Simpsons, you know, kind of finally getting to get food, you know.
Personally, from what you witness on the roads in America, to be quite frank, you probably would have just fitted in. There's some random manoeuvres, should we say, on the Interstate 4, which everybody who does go to Orlando will know very well.
Oh, yes,
spine road off to all the parks. You see some interesting things on those roads. And I did quite a similar thing in regards to one of the parks that we decided on the final day would leave open. Yeah. And go to whatever park we fancied at the time, depending on the waiting times of the queues. And we opted for Epcot, somewhere I've never ever been before.
That's good, actually. That's one of my favourites.
I think this is my fourth time I've been over there, and twice for the kids and my wife. But we went to Epcot on the Saturday, and for the first time we drove round the corner towards where you pay to go in for parking. Which is astronomical, might I add, while we're over that. And there must have been about 250 cars already queuing up to pay. And we had this quick look at each other and thought, this isn't going to be a good day. It's going to be too busy. And you saw similar cars doing what you've just mentioned, and it basically had the grass, big grassy hill separating you from getting back onto the I-4, which Disney's quite clever with. Once you've taken that slip road off to go into the parking area to pay at the booth, there's actually no return route out if you change your mind.
Which is not great.
Which isn't ideal. It's a little bit naughty on their behalf, but what people started doing, and you could see, was they just started basically cutting across all the lanes for the parking and basically just going Dukes of Hazzard over the grass. To which, you know, I quickly followed suit and, you know, crossed all the lanes and just dragged this big V8 Nissan Armada over the grass and swiftly got out of there, because I wasn't going to pay another $25 in English, 20 quid for parking for the amount of people you could see were going to be in the park. It was going to be obscene, to be honest with you.
And they don't want a busy day, especially when it's so hot. It can take an awful lot out of you when it's like that, when it's so busy. I noticed you went to Disney's Hollywood Studios, and that looks fantastic. That's one of my, as a place I really want to go to the next time I go back. What would you say was the best thing about the Hollywood studios? Because you noticed you'd gone to like the Star Wars section and things like that. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, well, to be quite frank, and I will be frank with Hollywood Studios, is if it didn't have the new Star Wars attraction, it's quickly being left behind almost at times. You can see that. I mean, there's a lot of construction going on at all the parks now. I think in nearly every park there were undergoing some sort of works and adding more rides, which they've already done with the likes of Animal Kingdom. And Universal have carried on this route as well. Hollywood Studios is one we didn't go to 3 years ago. We actually missed out on. And the Star Wars that they've put in there, and I'm not a massive Star Wars fan. Not that I don't like it. I haven't really followed it massively over the years. Even if you're not a fan, it's super impressive. It really is impressive, and the ride they've done is great fun. It was a great change as well, because it wasn't 3D glasses.
Oh right, that's quite good then.
So because I mean, I'm a little bit soft. I suffer from a little bit of motion sickness if I constantly have to put these 3D glasses on that they're making you do all the time. So it was a nice break from that. I would definitely say the Star Wars was the best attraction. They've still got the Indiana Jones show there, which kills it every time, to be honest with you.
That's my favourite.
The youth of today, should we say, kind of look at it and think, who's Indiana Jones? And you know, not being too old myself, that makes me feel old. So when you go there, that's still thoroughly entertaining, because that's you know, realistic impact you get off it. You know, I don't know whether you remember, but you remember the old Jaws ride that we used to do. Prior to all this clever, like I say, 3D stuff they do nowadays. There's something about being there in the flesh, which is thoroughly entertaining. So that's a great show.
It looks very good. Indiana Jones, one of my friends went to see it last year and he took a video of it, and it's on the old plane, isn't it? They have the fight on the plane and then it all erupts and the fuel goes up in smoke, and it just brings back watching the movie when you were a kid, you know. But it looks absolutely fantastic.
I don't think it's changed for about 15 years, because I mean, I went when I was 16, I think. So it's been 15 plus years. That's never changed, that show, and it's still entertaining now, to be fair.
So what would you say are the other main highlights of your holiday, places that you visited and things?
To be quite frank, it's going to be hard for them to beat the Harry Potter sector of Universal and Islands of Adventure.
Which
like I say, because our kids are a lot older, our youngest is 12 and Adam, our middle son's 18, and we're oldest has outgrown it completely, so he stayed at home this time. We found ourselves venturing more towards the Universal side in the Islands of Adventure, more mature rides. You know, Disney isn't the big thing in this house anymore.
It's understandable.
The highlight for us was definitely that has been Harry Potter fans from when it first came out to when it's finished. It's absolutely incredible what they've managed to create. In the actual park itself, just walking into the Diagon Alley, I think you call it, in the rides. But they've brought out one new ride, and you're going to have to pardon me because I'm terrible with remembering names, but I think it's Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure.
All right, yes, yep.
Might be wrong on that one, but I'm pretty sure, you know, that it's in regatta, and it's basically the big guy Hagrid on the bike with a side cart, and it's a roller coaster. And we went in thinking, I mean, we kept checking the times. We've got, I don't know whether you know yourself, but there's this app called, or website called Undercover Tourist.
All right,
information it provides is absolutely phenomenal. And you've got a thing called the crowd calendar. So what you do is you go on the crowd calendar, and they've used 10 years worth of information and research, and they can average out and take, I wouldn't want to call it a guesstimate, because I think it's probably a little bit offensive for that because it's so accurate, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And they give symbols of which parks on which days are best to visit during the past historic sites and also hotel sales. So we go on that and we were saying, right, basically Universal Studios is shown a green tick, which means it's a good day to visit. If you had a red exclamation mark, it was basically avoid at all costs because it's going to be, you know, going to hardly be able to move. So every time we checked Universal Studios, whether it be don't go or go, the Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure was always 2 hours long. The queue was always 2 hours long. So what we went, we used what we call the DAS, which we'll probably talk about shortly, the DAS card to get in there a bit quicker. And we weren't expecting too much, but this ride, honestly, they've taken it to another level. There's two in each car. One guy, and it's not 3D, which again is nice again. You sit on the bike. My wife came on with me and went on the side car. She was a bit apprehensive because she's not a wing man. And I mean, that made my life, to be honest with you, with her being in that car with me, because it was absolutely hilarious. they've taken roller coaster to another level. Going up vertical to stopping vertical, and then they took the roller coaster backwards for quite a speed, and then when it stops at one point and you think that's it, it's over, that was great fun, the whole roller coaster drops, so there's a deck of the roller coaster that just drops the whole coaster and then puts you onto another bit of track, so you get that, you know, where the turbulent, we're falling feeling.
And then
you take off again. And to be quite frank, I've not laughed like that in a long time, especially in my wife's face when it started going backwards.
Well, I remember doing the Simpsons ride when it first came out. That was back in 2008, I think it was, when I went over there with Jonathan. And it was fantastic fun. And I think when the two of us were laughing out loud, like two kind of teenagers, and then we looked around and nobody else was, you know, and we were like thinking this was brilliant, you know, but it's great. I mean, they're able to do it, as you say, to the next level, so that's definitely one on the cards that we'll have to do the next time. So where did you eat and things like that? Did you go to any restaurants that were favorites of yours or things like that?
To be quite frank, that's one side that I struggle with the USA. I'm what you probably call these days a bit of a clean eater. I like my healthy foods. I'm a broccoli man, chicken man, asparagus man. You know, I like to look after myself. Not that I used to, but I do now. So when I went over to America this time again, I find it.
It's hard.
I don't know. It can be quite overpowering. I don't think there's a country like it that has fast food chains like them. I mean, there seems to be an obscene amount. And just when you think you know how many there is, there's another one pops up. Popeyes, Denny's, Chick-fil, Sizzlers, Longhorn Steakhouse, Bahama Breeze. There's just endless amounts of food chains. So if you're hungry, you're going to get fed. That's a guarantee. if you love a burger, if you love chips, if you love fried chicken, the steaks, you're not going to lose out as far as I'm concerned over there. But I did find my wife, and we did go with another group as well, family, and we all found ourselves craving that Sunday lunch by the end of the holiday. It's something that you just kind of get a hold of over there. But the best places for me personally to eat, we found ourselves as Longhorn Steakhouse. Kind of get a steak like it in this country. You get just a list of all the cuts. Of steak you can get, and so many options of how to cook it, and the steaks are, you know, out of this world, really, really good. And then we also sampled the one Bahama Breeze, it was called, which is again a chain, which is a little bit more seafood, Mediterranean, fantastic cocktail menu, if you want cocktails, and they do happy hour. They did really good paellas and stuff like that. So if you want to mix it up, you get a bit full of the meat and the chips. And there's also the Olive Garden, which is like Italian orientated, like pasta and stuff like that. So you just got to look hard, and you can, you know, if you get sick of that sort of thing, there is those sort of restaurants. But you know, driving, like, you know, driving down the high street, the main street of the likes of Kissimmee. I mean, it is it is literally fast food, fast food, fast food, fast food. And you can see why there's a bit of an epidemic going on over there.
It is something, isn't it? Because you went to Old Town Kissimmee as well, I think. Now, I saw a video. The classic cars, which looked really good, actually. I've been there before. We stayed in a place called Regal Oaks, which was just around the corner from Old Town Kissimmee, and you could walk to it, which was great. But it's a really nice atmosphere there. How did you find the whole thing?
It's super. I mean, it's something we decided to do because, again, it's everyone their own, but you can get a little bit Disneyed out, should we say. You know, if you're going there constantly every day, you do think, you know, there's bound to be other things you can do in Orlando. And we opted to go to Old Town because they do the muscle car show on a Friday, and they do the classic vintage car show on the Saturday. So the Friday we decided to go, they had rock band Titans of Rock on, sing some old classic Bon Jovi tunes. And they just a massive big row and rows and rows of these guys who, to be quite frank, cannot have children. There's no way they have families because they invest their lives in these vehicles. And it is super impressive with what they've got. I mean, I've not seen cars like it before. Again, for me, America beats Britain on quite a lot of things. And one of them is vehicles. They do some superb muscle cars over there.
Properly loud and
fun. They're super, super cars. And, you know, it's the Fast and Furious style on the Friday night. And then at about, I think, 8:30, they do the parade through the streets as they all drive off and finish the night off. So that was a great change. It wasn't too busy as well, which, again, was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's a nice bit. We never found it was too busy when we went there. And there are lots of nice little restaurants and cafes, and it's actually relatively inexpensive compared to some other places to get drinks stuff. Yeah. It's not bad. We went to a pizza place there and also a little cafe, and it was actually very reasonable. And also we did a lot of go-karting. It was great for go-karting at Old Town Kissimmee. That's one of my favourites. You can take the kids with you or they can drive themselves. Depending on what age they are, but R2 loved it. It was really good fun. Oh, it sounds like you've had a fantastic time. Would you say, what kind of tips would you have, if you could think of two or three tips for your fellow Orlando who could be watching the video and thinking, right, how can we have a great Orlando holiday?
Plan ahead. I wouldn't say you absolutely cannot say, right, we're going to Magic Kingdom this day, having a rest, because we had rest days in between the parks.
You need that.
And that was due to our circumstances. But you can plan in a way that you can say, right, Monday we're going to go to a park, Tuesday to a park, then we're going to have a rest day Wednesday, or we're going to go to a water park. So try and plan as best you can. And I highly advise you look at this Undercover Tourist website. Not sponsored by them by any means, but they've twice we've used them in the last two times we've been, and their advice has been absolutely spot on. The one day this holiday we did ignore them was the final day, the Saturday, when they had a red marker against Epcot, and we decided to go. And as you're well aware, as I've just spoke previously, we quickly took the diversion to opt out of that choice. So.
I'll find it online and I'll put a link in the podcast and the video in the description. Put it out there.
It'll save the day. And also, queues. Get in there with your fast pass if you've got this fast pass that Disney do, and also if you paid extra for Universal. I think the fast pass, you can book the day before. Get in there quick, because we were finding on the day with the fast pass that all the best rides were fast pass. There is a limit. You kind of just endlessly fast pass the ride. There's a certain amount of people that are allowed to do it, and then they'll cut that off for the day. But keep checking. That doesn't mean they give up while you're there during the day. There are a lot of people that cancel their fast passes. So if you just keep checking the app, and every now and again you might see one pop up. And that'll do it. And also try and stay as near as possible to the parks. The I-4 is the spine road. It's like down here. Yeah. It's like the 8-1 to us. The further up you are, the further east it would be. Up the I-4, and the closer you are, the quicker it is to get there, because the I-4 can get quite busy, to say the least.
Ah, that's it. As you go up towards Orlando, it gets very busy, doesn't it? That's the thing. It sounds like you've had a fantastic time, and look, I really appreciate you coming on the show to give us a review of your holiday. It's certainly, we can't wait to get back there again, and I can see the door opening in the background. I'm recording. Please, we need to go back. Please shut the door. I'm recording. Hey, man. Thank you. I can. No, that's it. You need to. That's fine. It's fine, but I'm on the show. You need to go. I'm on a live recording. I'll rephrase that one. Now I've got to go and edit it. Normally it works perfectly when I do this because I don't have to edit it all the way through, but that's when I'll have to edit it back. But that's it. A few months ago, I did ask Jonathan to hand in one of my Orlando guides for you, because I know you'd been very kind and you'd shown an interest. So I don't know, did Jonathan ever hand it in to you?
To be quite frank, I haven't seen Jonathan in quite a while because he's been all over the place as far as I'm aware. He's been flying here, there and everywhere. So
he may not have...
We've obviously been away for the last 2 weeks, so we've been like passing ships at the minute.
Yeah. I'd asked him to put it through your door a wee while ago, a few months back. So hopefully, not to worry. Well, that's obviously that's the for the viewers. That's my Orlando holiday guide, so you can get lots of tips and ideas as to how to spend your time in Orlando. But thank you very much though, Adam, it's been fantastic, and it's great that you've had a good time. Obviously, there's one quick question. Your son who's disabled, you were saying that made a big difference to your holiday. How did you find that in that way, because obviously you had to use a wheelchair and things like that? Was it quite well catered for in the parks?
To be quite frank, I kind of thought they were absolutely superb. Better than what, again, I'm going to sound like I'm Team America at the minute, which I am in our current status. Yeah. The Americans all over, not just the parks, were fantastic. He wasn't wheelchair permanently bound, so he can't transfer from the wheelchair, but only over short distances. Having the wheelchair, everybody was just, you know, opening doors for you, looking after you. In guest relations, if anybody is in our position, if you go to guest relations, they basically, the issue with a permanent fast pass. So it's called DAS, Disability Assistance, something, I can't remember the S. I think it's SCIM or something like that. And basically, it doesn't matter how many are in your group. So there was 8 of us in our group, two families. And if we wanted to go on a ride and there was a big queue, if it was under half an hour, we were straight into the fast pass queue. Wow. If it was over half an hour, they'd just basically book us a time to come back, and we'd come back. And that's on top of the fast passes. And even if our Adam didn't want to go on the rides, they had a parent swap. So me, my wife, or our friends would stay with Adam, or whoever didn't want to go on that ride at the time, would stay with Adam, and we'd just do a switchover. But he managed to get on as many rides as we could get him on, but obviously physically-wise, the single-seater things and stuff like that were just a no-go. In regards to care, and I mean, we had scenarios not even to do with a disability where our friends, unfortunately, forgot their cards, their tickets one day to one of the parks. And straight away, you're thinking, Britain, you've got to go home. Straight away, the mountain's like, right, what's your name, what's your details, have you got an email? And within about 20 minutes, they were issued new cards, right, get yourselves in, guys.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
I mean, we find over here, in comparison, highly frustrating. When you go to things like National Trust now, because of people taking advantage of things like disability, when you go, you know, it says a disability discount, we take our Adam in, who, you know, without being too frank, but is quite clearly disabled. They stand there and they look at us and go, I'm sorry, but have you got a
certificate thing, is that later?
Basically declaring that they have been cleared as disabled, PIP form, I think we call it. You turn around, you don't carry that bloody thing with you everywhere, you keep it for special occasions when you're seeing social work and stuff like that. But in this country, for some reason, they insist you start showing that to people to prove you're disabled. So what they do now here is they make you pay full price, and then they say, oh, if you fill in the form when you get home, you'll get the discount that you're required. And you never do that. Why would you want to go home and bugger on doing stuff like that? Whereas in America, it's basically, yeah, guys, there you go. You know, that they're as helpful as anything. I cannot fault them with it.
Yeah, and very good customer service in the big sites and things, isn't it? That's the main thing.
They have to be as well. Even with the queues, that the workers there, they're so efficient. They're just really friendly. You've got all walks of life working there as well. You know, you've got young people, you've got old people who are retired and just want to do their bit for the day. Do you know what I mean? It's fantastically well laid out. It really, really is. So in regards to disability, guest relations, as soon as you get there, and the DAS ticket lasts you the whole holiday.
That's really brilliant. Good, actually, isn't it? No, that's excellent. Well, that'll be good because a lot of our viewers and listeners might have disabled children as well. So it's a good thing to know that they do get help and that they can go on an Orlando holiday and it actually works out well. So that's really good to hear. Well, what I'll do, I'll finish the show there, but stay on the line because I'll quickly speak to you for afterwards. But you've been listening to Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide. If you would like to support the channel, if you've liked what you've heard and you enjoy the tips and things, you can go to our website, which is www.hughhattrick.com, and you can get, of course, your copy. Oh, it's fallen on the floor. The live show, everyone, of Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide. But thank you very much to my very special guest, Adam Thompson, for his great contribution today to the show. Thanks very much, Adam, and we will speak to you soon. But take care, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye just now.
Cheers, you. Bye.
If you're heading to Orlando this year, then you need Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide. It's packed full of essential and crucial information to make sure you get the best from an Orlando holiday. You can get it on Kindle or iBooks, or have a copy posted out to you for just £5.50, including free delivery to UK residents. Visit hughhattrick.com now for your copy. Enjoy Orlando.